then you just be like, do, do, do.
Hello, check, 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 check.
And then but you have to press the little square to stop, though.
I don't think I've ever been sung to when I was just coming up to speak. That was unexpected. Well, this is the first time, I think, that I've ever had the privilege of speaking at a church that my dad has pastored. I've always served in some way, whether it was, you know, playing piano or singing or, you know, with the children or whatever, but this is the first time, so this is such an honor. As you guys know, my parents are amazing, and they have some of the most serving, generous, loving hearts of anybody I've ever met, and I'm so honored to be their daughter. And this is truly a privilege. I told Jim when we were getting ready to come, I said, you know, this is like carte blanche, you know, we just kind of get to do what we want here because we're trusted. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Normally, I'm not saying I speak a lot, but the opportunities that I've had to speak, you know, I kind of like, you know, you kind of feel like how much freedom do I have? And, you know, you're just kind of wondering where the parameters, you know, people-pleasing and all of that, but it is such a beautiful feeling to feel not only trusted but celebrated. My dad has always been such an empowering person and voice in my life, as my dad just telling me that that I can do whatever he's called me to do, that I'm well able to do whatever God has called me to do. And so this is just really fun for me, so it's a blessing. So, you know, this, honestly, I feel a little overwhelmed with gratitude and overwhelmed just in general at being able to speak on Pentecost. Like, this is amazing. And so, you know, not exactly like you can just expound on the riches of the Holy Spirit in like, you know, 20, 25 minutes or whatever. It's like, where do you start, right? The person of the Holy Spirit is the most beautiful person that we'll ever meet. And it is truly experiential. His experience of living in us transforms us, and then it has the power to transform the world. And so my prayer is that we experience a taste of who he is tonight that maybe is to a new degree, a new level, a new depth than what we've experienced. And so I'm very aware of the fact that I am not wise enough or profound enough to give anybody an experience, but he is, and he lives in me. And he is wisdom. He is wisdom personified, the person of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to talk a little bit about intimacy with the Holy Spirit, because that's probably been the most important part of my journey in faith, is experiencing intimacy with Jesus, intimacy with his presence. And that truly is what the world is longing for, you know. They don't really need a list of rules or to-dos or anything to make them feel like they're failing, right? We all feel, I mean, even in the church, right? We all struggle with that to some level, feeling like we're trying to measure up. And yet, you know, we're missing it if we are not encountering his transformative power, because it was never meant to be about what we can do. It's just about responding to what he's done for us, you know? And I think most of our journey with knowing him is about coming to the end of ourselves and coming to a greater level of dependence on him so that we can see him manifest more and more freely and purely in our lives. And, you know, in the natural, you know, when we're growing up, we're learning to walk and then run and get into everything in our mom's house and, you know, pull down the toilet paper out of the roll, you know, as we're growing and doing all these things in the natural and becoming less and less dependent on our parents, that's called maturity, right? You know, like if you have, you know, your children under your roof forever, you know, that's probably not a mark of maturity on their lives. Like, they need to eventually begin to spread their own wings, right? Have some independence. So in the natural, maturity looks like some independence in the right time, right? But in the Spirit, maturity, I believe, is marked by dependence on the Holy Spirit. So that actually the more we know him, the more we grow in him, the more dependent we become. And, you know, just like everything, you know, and I'm not talking about being overly spiritual about things. I'm talking about a real relationship. So that every decision that we make, everything that we do in life and everything that we, you know, we step into is in relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're constantly asking him, you know, what would you have me to do in this situation, you know? And when we feel anxious, when we feel anxiety rising up, you know, as we begin to mature, you know, Holy Spirit, what's going on in me, you know? And to me, like, partnership with the Holy Spirit has been such a beautiful way of growing in healthy self-awareness, where we begin to recognize, you know, when things in our hearts begin to reveal, you know, fruit that's not of the Holy Spirit, right? If our lives are full of anger and bitterness and envy and anxiety and, you know, all of these things that, you know, are not lining up with the Father's heart for us, you know, a lot of times it's just because we haven't yet come into a greater revelation of the Holy Spirit's empowerment in us. And I didn't write this verse down, but somewhere I think in Galatians, it talks about why is it that what you started in the Spirit that you're going to accomplish then in the flesh? So when we come to Jesus, right, we know it's by grace alone, right? We can't save ourselves. Jesus did all the work, and we just, you know, make him Lord of our lives and confess our sins, and he, you know, he makes us new. Like, that's totally of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that. He did it all, right? But isn't it interesting how, like, growing up in the church, you know, for those of us that have, and then, you know, even just getting saved and becoming a part of a church, how many times do we see believers trying to clean themselves up? You know, how many times do we try to do it all in our own strength? You know, because that's another thing that's different in the world. In the world, you get praised when you're independent. You get praised when you are strong and you power through and you can do it in your own strength. You know, like, people like to quote this like it's scripture. You know, God helps those who helps themselves, right? That show me the chapter and verse for that, because actually that's pretty much the opposite. I'm not saying that we don't do a lot. But there is a partnership with the Holy Spirit where we lean into him. And as we grow in maturity in our faith, we become more dependent on him, not less. And so the evidence of his Spirit working in us, because it is when his glory is manifest, you know. And what does he say? You know, he says that it's in our weakness that his strength is made perfect. And in 2 Corinthians, I did write this one down. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, he says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So there's something about this dependence on the Holy Spirit that I believe that he's bringing us as believers into, because I do firmly believe that this is a season, as my dad was sharing earlier, that there is an upgrade in revelation of inheritance and authority that's happening in the church right now. It's happening, and whether you've perceived that yet or not, it's okay. But there is something that we're coming into as sons and daughters, where we begin to understand who lives in us, where we begin to understand that we start to walk out of that place of, "Oh, I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. What will people think of me?" Because those are all, you know, that's the shame that we wear of not being good enough, not being worthy. And, you know, we can all relate to that, because every single one of us have felt those things. And yet, the beautiful thing is that if we feel disqualified, like if we feel like we're not holy enough or pure enough or powerful enough or anointed enough, like, that's perfect. We just need to begin to recognize that that's what the Holy Spirit is for. It's not about trying to get it together in our own strength. In fact, the weaker we feel, you know, it's a more opportune time to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I feel like there's been so many places of my life where I've just strived so much to be good enough for even my own expectations, to be good enough for the expectations of people, and good enough, you know, for God, just to, can I just perform enough to make you love me more? You know, can I just say the perfect thing? You know, can I just do the right thing? You know, I feel like a lot of my life was just like, I just wanted to, God, just tell me what to do. You know, I want to do the right thing. I mean, you just know I want to please you, so just tell me what to do. And, you know, so often I wouldn't get clarity when I'd pray like that. And as I grew in him, I began to realize it's because he's not so much about get it right. He's just not. He's about dependence on him, and he's about trust. And it's about relationship. You know, so often we come to God as like a business relationship, you know, like, God, I just want to please you, you know, what would you like me to do? You know, how would you like me to spend my time? You know, what kind of job do you want me to take? And, you know, and I believe that the Lord, he absolutely directs us and gives clarity, you know, do this, don't do that. But it's through relationship. Because how many of you have ever made a wrong decision in your life, you know, made a bad financial decision? Or, I mean, we all have. And, you know, God, he's so faithful. He's so good. He redeems us out of all these things that we do. And so a lot of my revelation in the last few years has just been this freedom journey of realizing that as I've said yes to God and made him Lord of my life, I'm actually not powerful enough to mess my life up. He is so much more powerful to redeem and to bring beauty out of the things, the places that I've blown it, the places that I, you know, have regrets. And it's because of that that I believe that I'm beginning to reflect more of the glory of God, as opposed to trying to take credit for my good places, you know, the places where I've shined, you know, and then feeling responsible for all my weak places, you know? We just give it all to him, and he just begins to take what we give to him and make it something so beautiful. So I want us to go to John, the book of John, chapter 14. Took out my bookmarker, now I have to find it. Okay. And starting in 15... the heading above this in my Bible says, Jesus promises another helper. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so Jesus gives us a promise, you know, without the Holy Spirit, because he was, you know, walking in the flesh at the time that he said this. You know, he's with his disciples every day, and he promised them, you know, he was starting to talk to them about the fact that he was going to be dying on the cross, and then he was going to go to be with the Father, but he promises that he's not going to leave them orphans. And then I don't know if I get ahead of myself here, but the fact that he chose to dwell within us is probably one of the most radical, scandalous things that has ever happened to mankind, you know? The fact that Jesus came, you know, left the glory of heaven to put on humanity and make that sacrifice so that we could have union with him, so that we could have intimacy with the Father. You know, when Jesus gave up his life and that curtain in the temple was torn, that curtain, you know, being four to five inches thick, I believe, you know, the power of God, using that as a demonstration of that no longer would there be separation from common man and the Holy of Holies, but that he was saying, he was making a bold declaration, and he did a prophetic declaration in the natural with that curtain tearing and saying, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to dwell with you, because that's what I've always wanted. That's what I've always wanted. And so the miracle of what Jesus did for us on the cross, it not only purchased our salvation, but it gave access. But then the Holy Spirit was the continuation, because Jesus had to go to the Father. And so he promised he was going to send a helper. And another translation for the word helper is comforter. He was going to send a comforter. You know, Holy Spirit is also a teacher. And like I said, he's wisdom, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are all these things together. But the role of the Holy Spirit is so powerful because he is to live in us. And, you know, in Jesus, in I believe it's in John 16. Yeah, let's just go there. John 16, starting in verse 5. Where he's talking to his disciples. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus is literally saying it's better for us, you know, that he goes. I mean, what could be better than Jesus in the flesh, right? Have you ever just wished that you could have Jesus in the flesh to ask him a question? Like, wouldn't that be so cool? Like, if he was here in the flesh, I could see him, I could touch him, I could feel him, and I could just ask him. But Jesus is saying here that it's actually better for us that he goes. I mean, that is how incredible the Holy Spirit is. Jesus edified the Holy Spirit that much that he said, it's better for me to go so that you can get the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus, you know, yes, he was fully God and he was fully man, but he wasn't meant to live on earth all the time. And even if he was, in the flesh, he wouldn't be omnipotent or omniscient, whatever it is, the one where you're everywhere all the time. I always get him confused. Omnipresent. Omniscient is all-knowing, right? Okay. So he wasn't going to be with everybody all the time, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. And I think a lot of the problem is that we just don't actually get it. So, you know, and that's the Holy Spirit's job, actually, is to help us to get it. Because I think I'm, you know, aware more and more of what I don't know. And one of the things I pray for the most is revelation. Revelation. Holy Spirit, would you give me revelation of who you are, who you've made me to be, who you've called me to be, and what we can do together? What are we going to do together, you know? It's like that partnership, but it's a revelation that we need. And we trust the Holy Spirit, too. And so one of the things that I just want to, I hope that you start to get a little hungry for more revelation. And I hope that you start to get a little bit encouraged that it has so much less to do with you and so much more to do with him. You have a role. We all have a role. It's partnering with the Holy Spirit. But the fact that the Holy Spirit comes and lives with the ordinary makes us extraordinary. The fact that the Holy Spirit comes and lives in something earthen and natural like us, what a privilege. What a privilege that we get to host the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. There's just nothing better than having him indwelling. Do you realize that this is the same Spirit that lives in us that raised Jesus, the Son of God, from the dead? The same Spirit. It's not a lesser. It's not a, a portion. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells in us. Like, that's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. He's so beautiful. He's so beautiful. So as we grow in more and more dependence on the Holy Spirit, we begin to think a lot less of ourselves, okay? We don't think, maybe I should say that a little differently. We don't think less of ourselves in the sense of our worth, but we think of ourselves less. We're not self-conscious, okay? So one of the ways that I began to sometimes we need a plumb line in our lives. Sometimes we need like alignment to be able to see how well we're trusting in him. And so one of my plumb lines is, you know, when I feel anxiety, I begin to ask, what lie am I believing? What lie am I believing, right, in this situation? Because when we're feeling anxious, there's a reality of some place that we haven't been made perfect in love, right? Because perfect love casts out all fear. I don't believe that faith is the opposite of fear. I believe that love and faith are, or love and fear are opposites, because Jesus said that, you know, he came to make us perfect in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And so, you know, that's one of the plumb lines for me. But then also with self-consciousness, you know, I feel like I spent a lot of my growing up years, I know it's normal when we're adolescents to feel self-conscious, right? It's part of maturity. You know, and there was so much self-consciousness. There was so much, almost like I was always, instead of living from a place of authenticity, it was more of just wondering what, you know, people, like trying to look through the lens of everybody else, how are they seeing me, you know, as if we can somehow control that, right? We really can't. We really can't control what people think of us or how they think of us. But the freedom that I'm growing in has just been to become less conscious of myself as I'm more conscious of his beauty in me, as I'm more conscious of his power that I get to be a host of, you know, it's all him. And so that's so much more fun living less aware of my own weaknesses and my own strengths and just becoming more dependent on him. And, you know, this shows up for me even in, you know, when I prepare for a message or something, you know, it used to be like the grid, my plumb line of how well I was prepared was, you know, because I, you know, when you go to Bible school, you learn how to put together a message, a sermon, you know, how to, you do all the research and the back study, and you get your, you know, your 3 points or your 5 points, and you have your intro, and you have your body, and you have your closing, and your ending, and you get all these things together. And that's what I used to kind of grade myself on, is how well I was prepared. And what I found is that, you know, so often I would be so focused on getting it right that I would miss the releasing of what's inside of me. And so, you know, my parents and my husband have seen me in this journey, you know, and I'm not saying I never get nervous anymore, because I certainly do. You know, we're just human beings, right? We do. We have anxiety that we're always overcoming and things. But I remember when the shift happened, and it was, I was speaking at a church, my cousin's church in Pennsylvania. I really didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but I know Jim had said to me, and the Holy Spirit had been saying as well, he often is like a repeat of the Holy Spirit. He said, just release what's in you, Heidi. Just release what's in you. And somebody asked me when I was I think the night before, like, are you ready for your message? And I said, well, I'm as ready as I'm going to be. And, you know, they asked how much preparation I had done. And I said, well, nothing really. And they got a little nervous for me. I could feel it. And I'll tell you what, you know, I just began to release a message that the Lord had put in me. And it was the most freeing experience, because I was no longer bound to my, you know, 3 points. And it was like a, sometimes God just, there has to be sometimes like connection points, you know, and that was a connecting point where I stepped into something that day when I was speaking that changed me forever. And I began to see, like, I want every area of my life to fall into alignment with that, as opposed to trying to do it perfect, you know, truly just living by the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you a story. This is Nathan, my brother, and I were going to be leading a ministry weekend. This would have been, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. And I had to bring half of the team on the plane. He went up ahead of time to Pennsylvania, and I was going to be bringing the rest of the team along. And I just remember the stress of that. I mean, it was like herding cats. I mean, see, some of these, you know, youth group guys that I was leading and didn't necessarily respect my authority. You know, we're about ready to board the plane. They decide they need coffee. I couldn't track them down. I'm like freaking out. I'm like, this is not my gift. You know, I needed Nathan. Nathan, my brother, is just, you know, he's so good at that. You know, he'll get people in alignment. And I had to, you know, I felt like I was so out of my league. So then we get on the plane, and there was a major delay. So we end up sitting on the runway for hours. I think it was, ended up being a total of, do you remember? I think it was 4 hours total. Well, about 3 hours in, we were all able to use our phones during this time. I mean, but you can imagine, like, you know, it was weather related, so it was thunderstorms. We're not going to, but they wouldn't let us off the plane because we'd lose our place in line. So they didn't want to, you know, get us all deboarded, and then we would be even later. So they just kept everybody on the plane. And I mean, it was bad. They like had to turn the air conditioning off. I mean, I was near the restroom. The restroom was starting to smell. I mean, it was just like so. You know, and actually our team, I think, was doing better because we were on our way to a missions trip. So it was like, well, I guess it's just starting early, you know, like suffering for Jesus. We hadn't expected this because it wasn't like we were going out of the country. Here we are. But, you know, you could feel the anxiety in the plane, you know. I mean, people were not happy. People were really annoyed and, you know, just the, you know, the huffs and the puffs. And so I talked to my dad. I called him and I told him what was happening. This was a Sunday morning. And, it was a Sunday afternoon, and he was already home relaxing after church, and he just decided to throw out there, well, Heidi, you guys are like stuck on the runway, you should just have church on the runway. And, you know, I didn't appreciate him saying that when he was so comfortable on his couch, you know, and even that suggestion. And I just, you know, I was like, wow, easy for you to say, okay. Right? So I just laughed and I said, right, haha. And so we got off the phone, and this stewardess and I had really connected. Now, bless her heart, she was the only stewardess on the entire flight. So she had this great personality, which was important because of all the angry people. She was keeping people, trying to keep people lighthearted. She was making a couple jokes over the intercom. And she and I had connected because she was hanging out toward the back of the plane, and she was so kind. And I, after my dad had said that, I felt a prompting of the Spirit, but I was hoping I was wrong. You know, have you ever had that where you just feel this little nudging and you're like, I hope that wasn't you, Holy Spirit, because I certainly wouldn't want to disobey you, but I'm just going to pretend I didn't hear that or feel that. And so what I did was I said, Lord, I don't want to make anything happen, but if you want to make something happen, you do it. I'll say yes. And I was still scared. I was still scared, even just that, because I didn't know what he was going to make me do. And but this was another one of those marking moments in my life, you know. Before, I had always feared full surrender because of what is he going to ask? What is he going to take away? And anytime we're so focused on what God would take from us, it's because we don't know his nature yet. We don't know who he really is. We don't know how good he is. So if we're so focused on measuring out our sacrifice of, you know, God, I'll give you this, but not this. If we're in that mode, we have no idea how good he is yet. And so if that's you, if you feel like, I always feel guilty because I have a hard time with full surrender, you know? Like sometimes some of us are so good at giving one area of our lives to the Lord, but he always wants the one that's harder to give. And it's not because he needs it. It's because we need to give it. We need to be free. So I just encourage you, like, just begin to just boldly say yes, you know, because he gives more grace. He gives grace and he gives boldness and he gives it all. He does it all. Like, all he needs is a surrendered heart, you know? And even like when you hear people that have these crazy stories of faith, like they've given 3 cars away, you know, they've given a house away, they've done all these things. I used to always like, oh, Jesus, don't ask me to do that. But if you do, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, like I just feel this anxiety every time I was in an environment where someone was like sharing these like great faith leaps, you know, and because I always just felt like I don't have enough faith for that, you know. And what I'm learning as I'm partnering with the Holy Spirit more is that I don't even have to have enough faith. I just have to have a yes, because he gives. He's the one that we lean into for every place that we're weak, you know. He's the one that we lean into for everything. So, you know, if you're feeling like you don't have enough, great, he does. If you're feeling like you don't have enough courage, awesome. That's what he's for. And so I said yes to the Lord on this plane, not knowing what that would mean. And then it got scarier because he took over my mouth at one point. And when I was talking to the stewardess, I heard myself say, well, how did I say it? I'm trying to think. I do remember this moment very clearly. Because she was just saying how everybody's being so bored right now. And she wasn't sure how much longer we were all going to be waiting. And so I said, well, if you think it would help, there's about 8 of us on this plane. We could kind of maybe, I don't know, entertain people. We're on a missions trip. And I'm thinking, like, what the heck did I just say? And I don't even, yeah, put it back in. Like, I don't know what that even look like. Are we going to dance? I mean, we're going to do a little song. I don't even know. And she was like, well, what could you guys do? And I said, well, we love Jesus. We could, like, you know, share a little testimony about what he's done for us. And she was like, that would be perfect. And I was like, oh my goodness, what did I just do? And so she said, just give me a minute, I'll be back. And then that's when, you know, I thought, what the heck, I don't know what's gonna happen. And I, of course, you know, I hadn't, the team, now this is what was funny, we were all spread out. Like, there was, I don't think anybody was sitting with another team member. So there was like 8 or 9 of us. We were all sprinkled out throughout the plane. So I quickly went to this one girl who had a powerful testimony. And I said, now if you hear her tell the story, she says that I told her that she was going to do this. And I do not remember that. I think I remember asking her very, very kindly if she would be willing to share a testimony. But she said yes. I don't remember the wording, but she says I told her she was going to do that. But anyway, I just said, you know, be ready. I might call on you. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know if you're going to, but just, you know, be ready in case. So the stewardess comes back to me and she says, we're good. I'm going to give you the mic. I'm going to give you the intercom. And I you know, it was one of those moments where I don't want to say it was an out-of-body experience, but it was an out of self-consciousness experience where it did. The Holy Spirit began to take over, and my yes became bigger than my fear, and I just began to flow with it. I had no idea what was going to happen. So she gives me the intercom, and I began to tell the plane that I'm a part of a missions trip, and there's a couple of us on this flight that we're on our way to Pennsylvania, and we would just love to share about the goodness of God with them. Well, immediately, people began to put their earbuds in and put their newspapers up. As soon as they heard God, you know, they were like, well, this is something I don't want to hear. So I called Amanda up, and she began to share her story of breaking free of shame and addiction and suicidal ways, and how the love of the Father set her free. Well, people don't talk about these things, right? I mean, this really happened. Like, when I thought about this later, I was like, we talked about Jesus on a plane, a captive audience. This really happened. And so people were so bored, and then when she starts talking about all these things that, you know, most people just don't talk about, you know, we're kind of used to that because we go to church, right? But these people aren't. She's talking about, like, cutting herself and self-hatred and the love of the Father setting her free from these things. People began to put down their newspapers, and they took the earbuds out. I could see it happening. I could see the openness shifting. Things began to shift. Well, after she was done, I was thinking who I'm going to call up next. That's the great thing about leadership. You can just empower other people and don't have to do it yourself. Well, the pilot heard voices he didn't recognize, apparently, and he wanted to speak to the stewardess. And so she had a little conversation on another phone with the pilot, and then she came to me and she said, we're going to have to shut it down. He said he's not comfortable with this. And so I said, okay, can I just, I said, it's a little awkward right now. Can I just kind of wrap it up? And she said, sure. And so I began to just, I don't even know. It was just, you know, the thoughts come to your mind and you know it's the Lord. I just began to talk about how we go through disappointments and the love of the Father. He begins to make sense of it all. And just, you know, how often we go through hard things that don't make sense, or we see evil happen. And we all have questions of if God is really good. You know, so I just began to share a testimony of God's goodness, even when it doesn't make sense. And And people continued to listen. And then she, the stewardess, then got up and she began to share this crazy testimony of how her brother had been murdered and how, and she got vulnerable in front of the whole plane. Wow. She began to cry, and I'm like comforting the stewardess on this flight with everybody just like, I think everybody on the plane was honestly just in shock. I don't even think that they knew what was happening, you know? And so they're all just like, everybody's eyes were like huge. Right? They're like, what just happened? You know, we're all angry, and now we're just like all in shock, you know? And so this brave stewardess just began to beautifully share how she wanted God to come, and their family needed a comforter. And so I ended up praying with the steward. I mean, it was just so like surreal. And what was amazing is that because we were all spread out on the plane, it opened up these beautiful opportunities for every single one of us. You know, all of the people on the missions trip said, you know, I'm with them, you know, that's all they had to say. And that all these conversations began to happen with individuals. And I know the guy that I had been sitting next to, he didn't really want to talk to me too much before, but after this, we just began to go deep and he just began to share his heart. So, you know, I tell you that just because, you know, that was something that if you would have told me, especially 15 years ago, that I would preach the goodness of God on a plane, you know, when everybody's stuck and can't get out, you know, I would have never believed you because I wasn't full of boldness, you know, in my personality. That wasn't natural for me. It was just a yes and a dependence on the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, God just loves to take, he just loves to take our yes and make it into something awesome for him, you know? So, so beautiful what he does. And I just really feel like we're going to experience something really good tonight. I just feel like there's a reality of the presence of God and of the power of the Holy Spirit that he wants us to experience tonight. What I really feel like he's doing is moving us into a deeper place of connectedness to his heart. Because everything that we do for him needs to flow from intimacy. It needs to flow from connectedness to him. So if we're not connected to him, most likely we're probably still in that mode of trying to please him and be good enough for him. But he doesn't want us to live in that place. He doesn't want us in a business transaction with him. He wants us in a romance, a relationship with him that's real and alive. And this isn't just for a few people. This is for every single person that we meet. That's what he created us for. We're his favorite creation, and because he gets to live inside of us. And so the power of God living and flowing through us is supposed to make us different. You know, it's supposed to make us transformed, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, the unrenewed mind is what's holding us back, you know, from really living in the fullness that God has for us. And so that's another great prayer, you know, God, I want to think like you. Because we don't know. We don't know what we don't know, right? You know, we have a lens that we view everything through, you know? Like, we, you know, imagine me with blue sunglasses on, you know? I'm going to think that Natalie's shirt is blue because my lens is blue, you know, even though it's white. And so that's how we live life. You know, we don't know what we don't know because our lens is our lens. It comes from our experiences. It comes from everything we've walked through in life. And so it's the Holy Spirit that begins to bring alignment so that we think like him, so that we begin to look at life through his lens. And his lens, it's not about removing the lens, because there is always a lens. You're never going to get rid of a lens. Like, don't we all just want to be, like, totally unbiased? Well, it's impossible. It's impossible. We all have a lens. We all have a way of viewing. We're all brainwashed with something, okay? So the lens that we view through, you know, as the Holy Spirit begins to move through us and flow through us and transform us, is a lens of love, because that's who he is. So we begin to look at people with a different perspective. We begin to look at ourselves with a different perspective. We begin to look at the Father with a different perspective when our lens is through a lens of love, and when we're looking through that lens with the Holy Spirit. So I want to read a little bit of John 16. I read verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage. But I was saying about how Jesus actually said it's to our advantage that he goes and sends the Holy Spirit. And verse 8 says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no longer. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Okay, so when I read this, I was talking to Jim, and I just felt like he had such a clear and simple way of explaining that. So why don't you come, babe, and just share a little bit of what you were saying about that, because this is really where it moves from what the Holy Spirit is in us to connect with us and be in intimacy with us. But then as we know the Holy Spirit intimately, in reality, as he's abiding in us, it brings transformation to the world, okay? So it's not just for our enjoyment of intimacy, but that's where it starts. But then there's a shift, and then it begins to impact everything that we touch, everything that we experience, and those verses speak to that.
Yeah, where are those at?
When he is coming.
Okay. Yeah, as Heidi was speaking today, I was just, the thought kept coming to me that, like, everything boils down to intimacy with the Lord. If we look at the life of Jesus, it was always, I know who I am, and I know where I'm going, and I know the Father, and the Father's in me, and I'm in the Father. And that's how it is with us. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. So it's this, like, intertwining thing. And the more we realize that, and the more we know, so there's, like, two main things, in my opinion. I'm just going to give you my opinion. That we know who he is, and that we know who we are. And that's basically what everything flows from that. I think Pastor Dan said earlier, alluded to it, that all creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons of God. So all creation is wanting the sons and daughters of God to know who they are. They want that revealing. So it's very important to know, like, who the real Jim and Heidi are, you know, what the original intention of creation was for our lives. And I think that's what we do with the prophecy. You know, we look at the who somebody really is, you know, not necessarily, you know, how they're acting out, you know. So that part of righteousness, so, you know, of sin, you know, because the world doesn't believe in me, of righteousness. Jesus came to make everything right. So people that were sick, he made that right. He healed them. People that were bound by the enemy, he made that right. He worked righteousness. When it refers to the works of Jesus, in John mainly, the works that he refers to mainly is the miracles that he did. You know, not necessarily like the fruit of the Spirit that we're used to. You know, but that's part of righteousness too. But it's the same power that works that righteousness, that, you know, the peace and the joy. It's the same power that works miracles. And so, because we, like Heidi said before, we can't do this on our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to work, you know, the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. So we are called to bring things into right alignment, work righteousness, same way Jesus worked righteousness. And what's the last part? Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, I was actually thinking about this during worship, and I don't know if any of you have ever gone to inner healing before, maybe know how that works. So a lot of times with inner healing, it just, you're focusing on the beliefs, because a lot of times the behavior that you act out is a deep-rooted belief you have. And so inner healing is about getting to the core of the belief, and if you address that, then your behavior will change. So I hope you don't mind me sharing this. Because it was kind of fresh, but like yesterday, I didn't have such a great day. I didn't get a whole lot of sleep. Actually, yeah, and I didn't get any sleep. I work at the night shift, and so we went from I got home from work and I went right to the we went right to the airport, and so I was a little cranky, and anyway, it was it definitely wasn't the real me, you know. But at the same time, I mean, someone would say, "Well, you're tired," and it's true, I was tired. But some core beliefs actually came to the surface. That's kind of, that's basically what happened. And so, like, you know, I have different wounding, you know, back way back in the day, and you know, I think it's like an onion. Sometimes you got to, like, it's a process. You know, kind of address it, and then you address it again. And so, you know, I've had this wounding, like, that people that I'm not cared for, or people don't, like, care about me as, you know, as much as I would like. And so anyway, we planned this trip for the morning, and I was like, oh man. And I started thinking, man, Heidi, she's not caring about me like the way, you know. And so I'm feeling like a little unloved right now. But the Lord, like, over, he's like, he addressed that with me as our worship. And he said, okay, you need to crucify that belief. So so that's kind of like what I do, is like something that the Lord brings up, I crucify that to the, so like the thing of being, feeling unloved and uncared for, you know, that's a lie. That's a total lie. And I believed it a lot of my life, you know, through different like things of rejection that have happened. And so I'm crucifying that thing, you know, to the cross. I'm like, okay, I am. So, Lord, what do you want to, what, how do you really see me? And how does Heidi see me? And he says, well, the truth of the matter is that she thinks about you a lot more than she thinks about herself. And I was like, wow. You know, and then I started to see her through, you know, Holy Spirit. And I was like, she's amazing. You know, and I felt like the Lord said, just ask for grace next time. You know, just ask for grace and I'll give it to you. And so, anyway, we, like, you know, we did have a moment last night where I was, you know, repenting to her. But, you know, today I was kind of getting more to the bottom of it, like, because I had no idea. I was like, why was I acting like that, you know? What is my deal? And so, this part, so that's basically, so the ruler of this world has been judged. And what that means is that Jesus has all authority. And the only, and the devil, the only authority he can get is when we give it to him. Because Jesus gave us that authority. He's the head. He's got all authority. We're the body. We have that authority. So the only way he can get his voice out there is for us to believe in his lie and partner with that. And now he can, you know, 2 Corinthians talks about 10, talks about the strongholds. So how does a stronghold get built? Every thought that we don't take captive, right? The enemy can put a little brick, you know. And before long, he's got a stronghold in your life, and now he's you know, little by little, he starts to control what you're saying, what you're doing, and he's paralyzing believers, like, when we believe these lies, because we're not coming into who we're destined to be. So judgment. So when the enemy comes in, and like Pastor Dan said earlier, the Holy Spirit can break that yoke. He can break that, no problem. But it's important for us to, like, that's why I said I was crucifying those thoughts and those beliefs to the cross, because I was judging it. You know, I was judging those very things that were keeping me from being who the real Jim Len is, you know. So, yeah, so that was just kind of what the Lord has shared with me.
Thank you. Stay up. We're going to do a quick little demonstration. So I know we're giving a lot to you, but we don't get down here very often. So bear with us. We won't be much longer. But, you know, just the, like, what I was saying earlier about the intimacy with the Holy Spirit, well, then it begins to translate into how it brings transformation, and then how we get transformed and we begin to transform others, okay? So we always want to make sure that our receiving of his love is in greater proportion to our giving, because we're to give out of an overflow. So I want to give a little demonstration of what it looks like to partner with the Holy Spirit to meet people where they're at, and also see signs and wonders happening, okay? So I need two volunteers. I need a man and a woman. Well, actually, yeah. So the man, is there a man that's willing to volunteer for me? It's not hard. It's not, you're not going to be embarrassed. You're not going, we promise. Justin. Will you? Yes, thank you. I said volunteer and then I changed my mind. Come stand here with us. And then who do I have for a woman volunteer? Okay, Natalie. Oh, what's your name?
Elizabeth.
We'll use you, Elizabeth, if you're good with that. Okay, so actually stay where you are for right now, but I want to explain something first. No, you're good. So we're going to pretend here for the purposes of example that Jim is Father God, okay? Justin is Jesus, and I'm going to be Holy Spirit in this example, okay? So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we've been together for all eternity. And there's a beauty in our connection. We enjoy each other. We have so much love with the three of us because, Father, you've been here before all time. And Jesus, your son, is going to put your plan of redemption into operation. And then, Holy Spirit, I get to live inside of the people that you're going to come and die for. So there's so much delight and enjoyment in the Godhead, okay? There's so much overflow of delight that they, you know, that from that place of overflow is where they created mankind, you know? It's so beautiful. And if we can just get a measure of the revelation in this, okay? So Elizabeth, we're going to pretend for this example that you've just given your heart to Jesus, okay? And you're just getting introduced to Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so come up here and join us. Welcome to the family. You get to be enjoyed by us.
Thank you.
This is Jesus.
Hi, Jesus.
And this is Father God. Elizabeth, we've been thinking about you for all eternity. We just love you so much. We can't even express how much we love you.
Okay.
And we're just so excited that you're with us now, that you get to be with us. Come a little closer. Okay. So how are you feeling? Like, do you feel more loved right now?
Overpowered.
Overpowered by love?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we want to bring more people into this.
Okay.
Okay?
Cool.
So we're going to come with you, and you're going to pick someone who you're going to get to bring into fellowship with us. Okay?
Okay.
And as you reach out your hand to extend it to whoever you pick, we're with you. Okay?
Okay?
So let's go. You get to pick someone, and we're going to follow you. Yeah, Sharon.
Hi.
You are loved.
Thank you.
You are so loved. We're just so excited about you.
That's wonderful.
We've been thinking about you.
Boy.
From the beginning of eternity. We enjoy you. We delight in you. You're so precious.
Thank you.
And we want you to experience the delight that we have. Do you want that?
Yes.
Then just join us.
I can't.
You can't stand up?
No.
Okay. Why don't you extend this to Bob? And Bob, you get to come in, and you're delighted in. Okay, so this is just, I want you guys to begin to get this picture. So when you begin to see people hurting, when you can begin to see people that need healing, this is what you get. You get the Godhead with you. When you reach out to lay hands on people, you guys can actually be seated. Thank you guys so much. I just wanted the visuals, as simple as it is, right? So when you extend your hand to lay hands on the sick, you're not alone. Can you heal anybody? No. You can't heal anybody. The power of the Holy Spirit is flowing through you. And when we begin to get this, it begins to transform the way we think, because it's not on us. We're not responsible for outcomes. We just say yes. And so, if you are the kind of person like I have been for so much of my life, where you start to focus on what is God going to make me do? What is God going to ask of me? What's he going to make me give up? I just want you to stop and recognize that that thought is the wrong question. It's the wrong process. It's the wrong thinking, because the thinking has to change. That's what repentance is. Repentance is when our thinking changes to align with truth, and we shift out of one way of thinking when we're going in one direction to another way of thinking till we go the other direction. So many times we think of repentance as, God, forgive me for that thing I did. Forgive me for that thing I did. When really what we need to be repenting is not thinking like he thinks. We need to be repenting because the reason that we do is because of the lies we believe. The things that we believe that get us caught into the actions, or the secret sins of the heart, whatever it may be, that, you know, keep us in bondage, okay? So our thinking has to change. That's what repentance is. And so, I don't know, is there some worship music that you would have to be able to put on for us? We want to just have a little bit of time in ministry here. I know I forgot to say that earlier. Okay, and that's okay. I'll just hand it over to Jim and I'll play the piano. There's always a creative solution. I do want to just have a little bit of time in ministry, and because I want to be able to, just focus on what we're doing here in the room and have nothing distracting us, I'm just going to release a blessing, because I know we have a few people on Zoom that have joined us tonight, so... For if you're joining us on Zoom, we just want to bless you, that you would encounter the Holy Spirit, that you would experience him more and more, that you would grow in the fullness.